The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Children's Story Hour. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our program today is going to be about dance. So our books are going to be mostly about dance. The first book today is called Lettice, The Dancing Rabbit by Mandy Stanley. Lettice Rabbit and her family lived high up on the top of the hill. Nibble, nibble, hop, hop, hop. Every day was the same. Until the day when Lettice saw a picture pinned to the tree. It was then she knew that she wanted to be a dancer more than anything else in the world. And the picture was of a ballet dancer in a beautiful tutu in her ballet shoes with a pointed toe and a crown on her head, looking ready to do a beautiful dance. Lettice hopped to town all by herself. She had never been so far from home all by herself in her life. Excuse me. It was so exciting. There were lots of busy people, noisy babies, chatty children, and great big dogs. She was a little bit scared. Lettice peeped in an open door and saw dancers just like in the picture. "Please, may I join in?" asked Lettice shyly. "Yes," said the surprised teacher, "but first you must get dressed in ballet clothes." Lettice didn't know what to do. She had never worn clothes before. "You can get them at the shop where we get ours," called the little girl. At the shop, Lettice tried on all the clothes, but the dress dragged on the floor. The shoes were like flippers, and the sweater was huge. Lettice began to cry. But then the clerk brought out a ballerina doll, and all the doll's clothes fit perfectly. And now Lettice was ready to go to the ballet class. Lettice hopped back to the ballet class. First, she had to learn the ballet positions. She watched and listened very carefully. The ballet teacher showed her how to hold her head high so that her ears would look graceful. Lettice worked very hard. She turned out her long toes. She stretched up her arms, and she tried not to wobble. But when she jumped, it looked as though she were flying. When she twirled and whirled, she was almost a blur. That's because she was a rabbit, wasn't she? And rabbits knew how to jump. Every week, Lettice went to town for her class, and at home she practiced every spare minute of the day. The teacher thought Lettice was very special and was amazed at her extraordinary jumps. Lettice worked so hard that each night she went to bed very, very tired, but very, very happy. No wonder, because she was working so hard practicing her ballet lessons. There she is, all curled up on the grass, sound asleep, and the stars are twinkling above her. A few weeks later, it was time for the end of the term show. Lettice had been chosen for the starring role. Can you believe it? She had just had a few weeks of ballet lessons, but she was going to be the star in the show. She had a gorgeous costume, and there was even a tiny crown. Can you believe that? There she is getting dressed for the show. All of Lettice's family had come to see her. Lettice was so nervous, she thought she would not be able to dance at all. There she is peeking out of the curtains, and she has her stage makeup on and her pretty crown and her pretty pink ballet shoes. The lights went down and the music began. Lettice took a deep breath and leaped onto the stage. She glittered and twinkled and soared through the air. The rabbit family was so proud, they clapped their soft little paws all the way through the show. And there they are, clapping. And someone's even standing on the teacher's head. One of the little rabbits is standing on the teacher's head. And there's another little rabbit standing, sitting on the teacher's shoulders. When it was all over, Lettice and the other dancers were all talking about the fun they had. The rabbit family didn't want to bother her, so they went on home. "Wait for me," squeaked Lettice, but they didn't hear her. Poor Lettice was tired and alone. As she slowly walked home, it began to rain. She just wanted to crawl into the warm, cozy burrow and fall fast asleep. The next day, the rabbit family was busy collecting apples, cabbages, and carrots for a picnic. Excuse me. "Lettice won't want to come now," said her brothers and sisters. "She's a star now." Lettice felt very hurt. How could they go without her? She pulled off her crown and threw off the dress. She kicked off her shoes and scrambled out of her tights. "Wait for me," she cried, racing up the hill. She could feel the sun on her fur and the grass between her toes and the wind in her ears. It was wonderful. Lettice had found out what it felt like to be a ballerina. But she knew that being a rabbit was by far the very best thing in the whole wide world. And that's the end of Lettice, the Dancing Rabbit. Wasn't that a great book? Now, our next book is called My Mama Had a Dancing Heart. And this is a book by Libba Moore Gray. And this book was written in honor of all the mamas who give their children a love for dancing. My Mama Had a Dancing Heart. My mama had a dancing heart, and she shared that heart with me. With a grin and a giggle and a hug and a whistle, we'd slap our knees and my mama would say, "Bless the world, it feels like a tip-tapping, song-singing, finger-snapping kind of day. Let's celebrate." And so we did. When a warm spring rain would come pinging on the window pane, we'd kick off our shoes and out into the rain we'd go. We'd dance a frog hopping, leaf growing, flower opening, hello spring ballet. There shows the mom and her daughter with umbrellas in one hand, dancing in the rain, except they don't have the umbrellas over their head. They're just waving those umbrellas around in the rain. High-stepping, splashing with rain running down our faces, I'd slip swish behind Mama through the newly green grass. And afterward, we'd read rain poems and drink sassafras tea with lemon curls floating. And in summer, when the waves would come splish-splashing on the shore, Out we'd go into the red, orange morning with kites and balloons tied to our wrists. They're splashing in the waves, and all their balloons and kites tied to their wrists, flying in the wind. We'd do a seabird flapping, dolphin arching, hello summer ballet, with me following my mama with sand stuck between our toes of our up and down, squish splashing, swish squashing feet. And afterward, we'd seashell pile the windowsill and drink our lemonade cold. And when the cool autumn winds would come puff puffing through the clouds, and the hold-on-tight leaves would finally let go and float flutter to the ground, then we'd go out into the eye-blinking blue air with Mama leading in a leaf-kicking, leg-lifting, hand-clapping, hello, autumn ballet. There they're dancing in their front yard as the leaves are falling all around them. And afterward, we'd wax paper, press leaves red and gold, and drink hot tea spiced. And when the winter snows come softly down, shawling the earth, there the snowflakes are falling down to the earth. Out we go and do a body flat, arms moving up and down, snow angel, hello winter ballet. And then we'd stand up, mama first, and dance in slow motion, like hand-mittened galoshes glumping funny old snowmen. And afterward, we'd cut snowflakes paper white and delicate and sip cocoa with marshmallows floating. And now, after satin ribboning my feet and listening to the violins sing swelling around me, on the stage I go, air daring, leap flying, wing soaring, letting the spring rain, summer waves, autumn leaves, winter snow carrying me along until the music slows and I feather float down, down to the ground. And afterward, I imagine that I hear my mama saying, bless the world, it feels like a tip-tapping, song-singing, finger-snapping kind of day. Let's celebrate. My mama had a dancing heart, and she shared that heart with me. And that little girl grew up to be a real ballerina. That's a lovely poem. And she did become a real dancer. And that is beautiful, isn't it? Our next book is Jingle Dancer by Cynthia Leitich Smith. This is about an Indian girl from the tribe of Ojibwe, who wants to dance at the next powwow. She has a dress, but she wants to carry on the family tradition of jingle dancing, which means she needs the jingles that her grandmother had, and she has to get the jingles from her aunt, who has her grandmother's jingles, and sew them into her own dress. Now, she is of mixed blood. She belongs to the Muskogee or Creek tribe and also the Ojibwe tribe. So anyways, here is the story of Jenna, the Ojibwe, the jingle dancer. Tink, 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 sang cone-shaped jingles sewn to Grandma Wolf's dress. Every grandma bounce step brought clattering tinks as light birds blurred silver against jingles of tin. Jenna daydreamed at the kitchen table, tasting honey on fry bread, her heart beating to the brum, brum, brum of the powwow drum. And that's her grandma dancing there. As Moon kissed Sun goodnight, Jenna shifted her head on Grandma Wolf's shoulder. I want to jingle dance, too. Next powwow, you could dance girls, Grandma Wolf answered. But we don't have enough time to mail order tins for rolling jingles. Again and again, Jenna watched a videotape of Grandma Wolf jingle dancing. When Grandma bounce-stepped on TV, Jenna bounce-stepped on the family room carpet. But Jenna's dress would not be able to sing. It needed four rolls of jingles, and the jingles are sold on the outside and of a dress, and they look like tiny little cones of tin, and they make noises. As Sun fetched the morning, Jenna danced east to Great Aunt Sis's porch. She was the sister of Grandma. Jenna's bounce steps crunched autumn leaves, but her steps did not jingle. Once again, Great Aunt Sis told Jenna a Muscogee Creek story about Bat. Although other animals had said he was too small to make a difference, Bat won a ball game by flying high and catching a ball in his teeth. Rising sunlight reached through a window pane and flashed against, what was it, hanging in Aunt Sis's bedroom? Jingles on a dress too long quiet. May I borrow enough jingles to make a row? Jenna asked, not wanting to take so many that Aunt Sis's dress would lose its voice. You may, Aunt Sis answered, rubbing her calves. My legs don't work so good anymore. Will you dance for me? I will, said Jenna, with a kiss on Aunt Sis's cheek. Now Jenna's dress needed three more rows. As Sun arrived at mid-circle, Jenna skipped south to Mrs. Scott's brand new duplex. At Jenna's side, jingles clinked. Mrs. Scott led Jenna into the kitchen. Once again, Jenna rolled dough and Mrs. Scott fried it. May I borrow enough jingles to make a row? Jenna asked, not wanting to take so many that Mrs. Scott's dress would lose its voice. You may, Mrs. Scott answered, tossing flour with her apron. At powwow, I'll be busy selling fry bread and Indian tacos. Will you dance for me? I will, said Jenna with a high five. Now Jenna's dress needed two more rows. As Sun caught a glimpse of Moon, Jenna strolled west to Cousin Elizabeth's apartment. At Jenna's side, more jingles clanked. Elizabeth had arrived home late from the law firm. Once again, Jenna helped Elizabeth carry in her files. May I borrow enough jingles to make a row? Jenna asked, not wanting to take so many that Elizabeth's dress would lose its voice. You may, said Elizabeth, burrowing through her messy closet for her jingle dress. This week I'm working on a big case and I can't go to powwow. Will you dance for me? I will, said Jenna, clasping her cousin's hands. Jenna now has three rows. Now Jenna's dress needed one more row of jingles, but she did not know which way to turn. As Moon glowed pale, Jenna shuffled north to Grandma Wolf's. At Jenna's side, jingles sat silent. High above, the clouds wavered like worried ghosts. When Jenna tugged open the door, jingles sang, tink, 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 tink. Grandma Wolf was jingle dancing still on TV. Jenna breathed in every hey, ah, ho, ah of a powwow song. Her heart beat brum, 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 brum to the pounding of the drum. On the family room carpet, beaded moccasins waited for Jenna's feet. She shucked off a sneaker and slipped on a moccasin that long before had danced with Grandma Wolf. Jenna knew where to find her fourth row. "May I borrow enough jingles to make just one row?" Jenna asked, not wanting to take so many that Grandma Wolf's dress would lose its voice. "You may," said Grandma with a hug. Now Jenna's dress could sing. Every night that week, Jenna helped Grandma Wolf sew on jingles and bring together the dance regalia. Every night, Jenna practiced her bounce steps. Brum, 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 sounded the drum at the powwow the next weekend. The light blurred as Jenna jingle danced for Great Aunt Sis, whose legs ached. Whoops, sorry, the pages got stuck on this book. And I will get it turned. For Mrs. Scott, who was selling the fry bread at the powwow. For Elizabeth, who was working on her big case. And for Grandma Wolf, who warmed like sun. Tink, tink, tink. And there's Jenna dancing proudly at the powwow and having a great time doing so. And she was very happy doing it and carrying on her family tradition of jingle dancing. And that's the end of that story. Our last book today is Giraffes Can't Dance by Giles Andrier. Gerald was a tall giraffe whose neck was long and slim, but his knees were awfully crooked and his legs were rather slim. He was very good at standing still and munching shoots off trees, but when he tried to run around, he buckled at the knees. Poor Gerald. Now, every year in Africa, they hold the jungle dance, where every single animal turns up to skip and prance. And this year, when the day arrived, poor Gerald felt so sad, because when it came to dancing, he really was very bad. The warthog started waltzing, and rhinos rock and roll. The lions danced a tango that was elegant and bold. The chimps did a cha-cha with a very Latin feel, and eight baboons then teamed up for a splendid Scottish reel. Gerald swallowed bravely as he walked towards the floor, but the lions saw him coming and they soon began to roar. "Hey, look at clumsy Gerald," the animals all sneered. "Giraffes can't dance, you silly fool. Oh, Gerald, you're so weird." Gerald simply froze up. He was rooted to the spot. "They're right," he thought. "I'm useless. Oh, I feel like such a clot." So he crept off from the dance floor and he started walking home. He never felt so sad before, so sad and so alone. Then he found a little clearing and he looked up at the sky. "The moon can be so beautiful," he whispered with a sigh. "Excuse me," coughed a cricket who'd seen Gerald earlier on, "but sometimes when you're different, you just need a different song. Listen to the swaying grass and listen to the trees. To me, the sweetest music is those branches in the breeze. So imagine that the lovely moon is playing just for you. Everything makes its music if you really just wanted to." With that, the cricket smiled and picked up its violin. Then Gerald felt his body do the most amazing thing. His hooves had started shuffling, making circles on the ground. His neck was gently swaying, and his tail was swishing round. He threw his arms out sideways, and he swung them everywhere. Then he did a backward somersault and leapt up in the air. There, he's starting to dance. Gerald felt so wonderful, his mouth was open wide. "I am dancing, yes, I'm dancing. I am dancing." Gerald cried. Then, one by one, each animal who'd been there at the dance arrived while Gerald boogied on and watched him quite entranced. They shouted, "It's a miracle! We must be in a dream! Gerald is the best dancer that we've ever, ever seen! How did you learn to dance like that? Please, Gerald, tell us how!" But Gerald simply twirled around and finished with a bow. Then he raised his head and looked up at the moon and stars above. "We all can dance," he said, "when we find music that we love." And now we're going to finish up with some poetry by Jack Prelutsky. The turkey shot out of the oven and rocketed into the air. It knocked every plate off the table and partly demolished a chair. It ricocheted into the corner and burst in with a deafening boom, then splattered all over the kitchen, completely obscuring the room. It struck into the walls and the ceiling and totally coated the floor. There was turkey attached to the ceiling where there'd never been turkey before. It blanketed every appliance. It smeared every saucer and bowl. There wasn't a way I could stop it. That turkey was out of control. I scraped and scrubbed with displeasure. I thought with chagrin as I mopped that I'd never again stuff a turkey with popcorn that hadn't been popped. And what do you think of that? That was pretty dumb, wasn't it? Denson Dumb. Denson Dumb with pop and flare planted light bulbs in his hair. Now, however dark in the night, Denson Dumb is always bright. Now that is silly, isn't it? "You're eating like a pig again," my mother scolded me. "If you keep it eating like a pig is what you'll be." I simply cannot fathom what all the fuss is about. And haven't I a lovely tail? And see my splendid snout? I am tired of being little. I am sick of being thin. I wish that I were a giant size with whiskers on my chin. No one would dare to tease me or take away my toys, for I would be much bigger than the biggest boys. My folks would pay attention to everything I said. They couldn't make me eat my peas or tell me go to bed. I would never again be afraid. I'd never again be afraid or if I were 10'3". I wish I were a giant size instead of small like me. Well, we've come to the end of today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time.